Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
Luke chapter 15. Chapter 15 of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. He's a merciful God. He's a God of a second chance. He's a God of a new beginning. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And who are those who are complaining? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, the so-called leaders. Was it not the high priest who sat at the head of the table and with the priests and the leaders of government to sanction the crucifixion of Jesus? Yeah. So why would that surprise anybody? So those who deem themselves self-elevated leaders, we always stand against what God is doing. They were complaining instead of rejoicing that these are sinners coming to be saved. They were angry with Jesus, which shows their blatant ignorance of the kingdom and the ethics and the pattern of the kingdom. So Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying, Jesus perceived them, perceived their thoughts, and spoke in parables. Quickly, I'll read through. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You see where joy comes from? And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, what will he say to them? Rejoice with me. Somebody has entered his realm of joy. And it will last the rest of your life. In the name of Jesus. He says, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified, and that your joy may be full. People, I sense full joy. See, what Jesus promises us is full joy. Not sadness. Full. Come rejoice with me. For I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you, Jesus was saying there, likewise, there will be more joy. See, it's about joy. There will be more joy in heaven. You'll be the cause of joy. Amen. I say in your family, you'll be the source of joy. Amen. The cause of joy. In your home, in your neighborhood, in your community. I say in your generation, in your nation, you will be a fountain of joy. Yeah, I don't know why this service is going this way, but I'm happy. Woo! I say to you, likewise, there'll be joy, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if he loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until he finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found... What? Rejoice with me, for what? I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repent. Why do you want, don't you want to be part of this big joy in heaven? Just invite someone to church. Just talk to someone about Jesus. Sherisha, can you see? Can you hear me? You want to be the one that is causing joy on earth and in heaven. Get somebody into the kingdom. Hallelujah. But I just really want to ask you a question now. What is causing joy here? I know it's salvation, thank you. But generally, in general terms, what is causing joy? I can hear you. You are right, souls. But in general terms, you see, that was a lost and a found. A lost soul is a found soul. A lost coin, a found coin. A lost sheep, a found sheep. What is causing joy here? A lost and found. Come on, talk to me. So probably we can define the circles of life by lost and found. Circles of joy and come on. When you lose something, dear man, or when you want something and you strive and you strive and you strive, you become angry, you become sad, you become despondent. But the day you find it, hey! Somebody said then what is life? Other than the fact that, hey, bequeathed blessings, taken for granted, lost, and then found. So life can be defined in circles of lost and found. Or what do you have that God has not given you? But when you take what God has given you for granted, then you tend to lose it. Then when you realize, then you go for it. And when you find it, hey! Joy in heaven, joy on earth. It's when we gain something, when we find something, we celebrate. May we not lose what we shouldn't lose. In the name of Jesus. Then he gave another parable quickly. A certain man had two sons. Then the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided. Oh, I feel the fire. Wah, 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 wah. Somebody's delivered from greed. Somebody wants to start living. It has started. Wow. There's no mold that can hold you. You are larger than any mold that anybody is thinking of. You see how? Because of the Spirit of God in your life. Wow, Masha, all things are yours. See, the Spirit of God. See, if he don't withhold his only begotten Son, what makes you think that he will not give you anything that you're asking? Anything. 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 What is it that you cannot get? Except that you don't need it for your assignment. What is it that it can be? You think anybody can deny you anything? Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and who sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. That was a dry period in his life. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" When did that happen? When he came to himself. Okay. 19. "And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, bring me the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found, and they began to be merry. Now, his older son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And they said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise Jesus. I like how God would do it. He started with the men, because men pride themselves in possessions. Same thing with women. But she started with men. And when we talk of men, you talk in terms of wealth. What do you mean by wealth? Sheep. 100 sheep. Perfect wealth. And now loses one. He says he will keep 99 in the wilderness and go after that one. Men know how to go after wealth. Women too. There are some dangerous women nowadays. But men. He said, when he finds it, he will put it on his shoulder. It's precious. What you lost and found is more, it seemed to be more precious. It's not like it's better than the rest. But the only thing about it, it was lost. And that's why he deserves your shoulder. Why? Because it is found. You've gained back what you lost. Whatever you have lost in your life. This is the time of recovery. Yeah. I say in the name of Jesus, it's your time of recovery. Yeah. Hear me. I say you will recover all. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Okay. And when we come back, he will say, hey. He said, we'll put on shoulder. He will come back rejoicing. Then he will say to his neighbors and his friends, say, please come, rejoice with me. Why? I found my lost sheep. Or which woman amongst you, if she has 10 silvers or 10, yeah, and she loses one, she will not sweep the whole house, put on light, bend and turn over everything upside down just to locate it. And when she finds it, she rejoices. And then she, of course, a party begins. She invites friends and relatives. Come rejoice with me. I found my lost coin. As a matter of fact, they said it's a certain kind of jewelry that they wear, the married women will wear in Israel in those days. And it's 10 pieces in a garland. So if you lose one, you want to look for it. I suspected that. That's got to do with jewelry. Even God knows that women like jewelries. You see what I mean? They do. They will look for it, and when they find it, they rejoice. Then he says, a father, and he says something. He said, now you are rejoicing because you found your lost sheep. You are just purifying your lost coin. He said, do you know what it means in heaven? Over one sinner that repents, there is joy, robust joy. You can't compare with anything happening on earth for one soul. I like to be part of those who bring joy to heaven. In fact, so if you're going to analyze it properly, the only reason Jesus has left us here is to keep on bringing joy to heaven. Say, now please, you know what? Receive and go in my name to every nation, to every people group, and go preach the gospel to them. You become my witness. You are here to cause joy in heaven constantly until you pass. Heaven is secured. Hell is cancelled. But you are here to contribute joy to heaven. I feel the fire on both hands. Isn't it amazing how we take lightly what heaven takes so seriously? That's the lie of the devil. Makes light very important things. So he now told us the story of a boy, of a father with two sons. Not two slaves, two sons. It's natural, ladies and gentlemen, that certain things I have today that will outlive me, I want more, and God will give me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But the best thing that will outlive you is salvation. It's the life of Jesus. If there's a legacy I want to leave for my children, it's a legacy of righteousness, Christian life. Oh, I feel the fire. Wow. But you see, how's this? Good. So if I acquire more today, by God's grace, I believe I should. I have 5 children. Sure, okay. I'm blessed.
Amen.
Amen. The way I'm going is this. If I'm running after houses and things today, they are for my children. When you affect me? You want to live in the one in England and the one in the US and the one in Japan and the one in Nigeria and the one in Abuja and the one... Yeah. Before you travel around them, relax. Please enjoy life. Don't kill yourself. But that does not mean that if God gives you the grace, you can acquire. But they are for the coming generation. Okay? So I will do myself a lot of harm if I'm saying, they are mine. Jimmy, get out. When you are gone, they will say, Daddy will help you take care of it. So the man knew that everything he had belonged to them. The man knew that these two boys will own everything. In fact, they own everything. It's just a matter of time. But see, in the tradition of Israel and by their religion, the first one will have 2 portions, double portion. Every first son has 2 portions. So if you have 5 sons, you split what you have into 6. If you have 3 sons, you split what you have into 4. Because everybody will have 1, 1, 1, the first one will have 2. But you see, it wasn't the first one. It was the younger one that will not wait for daddy to die. He wants daddy die and go so that I can have this stuff. And daddy say, by that question alone, the man is saying, wow. But the daddy didn't do that. He split it. He didn't even argue. He gave him. I sat back. I said, wait a minute. There'll be some of my siblings. There'll be some of my pastors. There'll be some of my friends that say, Mbomoje. If I did that. If you don't have friends, I will tell you that, then you don't have friends. Okay, no more message. Good friends, you say, why will your young son be wishing you dead and you are giving him? What's wrong with you? That's a friend. But that man gave. I said, God, why did he give it? He said, you remember, Jesus is trying to show you God's character. As against what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high and the priests thought the character of God was. God created you after his likeness into the image. How? He created you. God, you can't control God by his will. He's sovereign. God created you a free moral agent. God will never overrule your will. If God says, look, this is a banquet for you. Sit down and eat. You say, God, I'm not eating. He can't force you. It's a choice. God will never overrun your will. There is something God cannot force in man, the will of man. If God can force the will of man, everybody will be Christians. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you have to make your choice. He will give you the best of his, but you have to choose what you want. If you don't want him, day-day. You want him, day-day. He will respect what you choose. But remember, you will face the consequences of your choice. Isn't God amazing? So like God, you want, take. Then look at man. Look at man. Look at man. Now we can abuse the prodigal boy all we want. But I'm telling you, this is the story of life. God and man. And all of us, like the prodigal, we've lived from prodigal's life. But thank God that God will never give up on you. Will never give up on me. But I still have my choice. That's why until people die, God never leaves them alone. But you won't pass without accepting him. You won't pass without fulfilling your assignment in life. In the name of Jesus. God, what did he do? He gathered everything he had. What did he have that the Father didn't give him? What did he have that the Father did not give him? He gathered to the tip of a pin. He gathered all. Guess what he did? He traveled far. He was so selfish and greedy. Didn't want to share with anybody. But the Father, what is your Father's livelihood he gave to you? And you are running from everybody. God bless him. If you won't share with your Father's children, the children of other people will waste your possession. God forbid. In the name of Jesus. I would rather that I share it with my Father's children than allow it to be wasted. Not that they used it, they wasted it. To the stage where he began to be in need. And to crown it, famine in the land, recession. And to make it worse, the man that opened everything and now they wasted it, no one now will give him anything. See. Except where Jesus is reigning, people love you for what they can get. They're fair weather. When the tide changes, they abandon you. So don't be deceived. Let the Spirit of God be number one. It will guide you into everything. It will help you handle your relationships. So when he couldn't feed, God allowed him to still be able to think. He thought of what to do to survive. A rich man in the community where he went, and he joined him down and looked at, look, the only place I have need is with the pigs. Go feed them. That meant that he'll be living with the pigs and, oh my goodness, and he will be so hungry certain days that there'll be no food to eat, and he will wish that he could feed on what the pigs were eating. Have you ever seen what pigs eat before? I think the major part of their food is crushed kane, palm kane, ekuro. You crush it like that, and they mix it with some, I think, soybeans and some, I don't know what they mix it with, and all this stuff. And then when you go there, when they're feeding, you're going quack, quack, quack. Your teeth can't eat it. Then the Bible tells us he was suffering, he was dying. Then he came to himself. And that jolted me. He came to himself. What? He came to himself. That means that all he was doing was besides him. All he was doing was not him. All he was doing was outside his mind. Hello, you are a son. And that status has not changed. But you are thinking like a slave and behaving like a slave and getting slave results. But you are still a son. The day he came back to himself, said, I'm a son for goodness sake. did he get there? He said, in my father's house, even slaves eat and have extras. They eat with remnants. And here am I, dying, nothing to eat. I'm a son! Son, don't go this way. I will arise. That's what we call repentance. Repentance. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven. And I have sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. See what he now said? Come on, church. Make me. So all the give me, they are dead and gone. Father, make me. When Jesus made the disciples, and they toiled all night, and they caught nothing, and they used their boat, he said, launch it for the catch. Wow. He said, please leave us. Man. He said, no. You follow me, and I'll be what? Come on, talk to me. God is still in the business of making. Man don't want to be made. Man won't give me. And even in our churches today, we can hold all night prayer meeting. Give me. Even in church. Do you know that when you are made, it is added to you? Give me. Now when he got it, see what happened. When he returned, he said, make me. When man takes things to his own hands, he messes it up. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he was coming back, and what he has and what we say, but the Bible tells us that from a distance, the Father saw him and recognized him. How come nobody in the entire community recognized him? He was emaciated. He was a shadow of what he used to be. He was darker and stinking. But the Father still recognized his son. No matter how battered and weathered you may be, I'm here to tell someone here, your Father still recognizes you. You are a son in the house. That brings me to some lessons we can draw from here. My first lesson is this: with your Father, failure is never final. He knows you will make mistakes. I wrote in the margin of my book when I was preparing this. So failure is not final. So I wrote in the margin of my Bible. I said, in life, that you will fail is definite. But that you become a failure is your choice. Have you thought of it? That God's victory model is a failure model. So what do you mean? Let us make one in our image and let them have dominion. And they put them in the garden. And then no sooner than he left them there, the devil came and they fell. Did God fail? No, but that was a failure. But that, did that make him a failure? Lie. That's the way he conquers. He said, what are you saying? Because right there he said, hey, the seed of the woman. And the devil is bound forever. Damned forever. The seed of the woman. That was all he had to say. What about Jesus Christ? He came to redeem humanity, the fallen humanity. What happened? Oh, they got him, and finally they got him, they killed him. And when they killed him, they rejoiced. The Bible said, had they known, they would have killed his own. He himself said it. He said, the seed of corn remains intact until he falls to the ground and he dies. Then he grows and produces many more. They didn't know that you will suffer failure, except you're not trying anything. But that you now be a failure is a lie. It's your choice. That you suffer setback, it's normal. It's only if you are trying massing that you will not see, you know, be challenged. Which is the problem of the first son. If you hang, if you remain at the shore, that's what you'll be. But when you try, that's when you get into the storm. And then God will prove to you that he's the Lord of the storm. When you land there, you have captured. You come back and go back and capture again. If you don't live there, you capture nothing. Life is a risk after all. Can you see life? Risk that is based on the promises of God. Number two is the fact that, hey, God restores perfectly. He said, don't make a mockery of me, my friend, because I'm on the ground. I will rise again. Say, the righteous fall six times, he will rise again. Be assured, in Jesus' name, you will rise again. God restores perfectly. Yeah? I began to ask myself the question. I said, so, as a Christian, what does it mean to say, he came to himself? Oh, he came to realize that he's seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He came to realize that he's complete in him with the head of God. He came to realize that I will see my children in the name of Jesus. He came to realize, what did he realize? That Christ dwells in my heart by faith. That the existing greatness will pass towards me so much like the one he demonstrated in Christ when the resurrection power, he walks in me. He came to a realization. He came to a realization out of my belly for rivers of living water. He came to a realization. And when you come to a realization that you say something, and what you say will lead to miracles. Another lesson, ladies and gentlemen. The first one, if I'm going to put it vis-a-vis, what? There is no sin that is greater than the grace of God. Number two, there is no failure that is superior to the love of God. Number three, no matter how terrible the failures of the past, they can never impinge on your glorious future. Conclusion, God will always give you a new beginning, regardless of your age. That's why we come to Abraham at age 75 and wait until 99. Jesu ni ara on dabira. He came to himself. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you are still saying. It has not happened. Come on, relax. You are serving a God who is a finisher. He has never failed himself and has never failed his own before. And he's not about to fail you. I asked myself the question, why would Jesus choose the pattern of going to die on the cross, spit on his face, plucking his beard, like a defeated one, to let you know that failure is never final? And that, look, he went through the law. I mean, the door will fail you, so that he became a distraction to those who thought they got him. And when finally they started jumping, he said, you made a mistake. He's the author and the finisher. If he says he's going to my degree, you can't stop him. He will get there. Yeah. What God wants to do with your life, he will perfect. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. And that's why your life would not be concluded without a note of joy. I say, people will rejoice with you. In the name of Jesus. And that's why you don't have any business getting into self-pity. What people do? What people? When he has told you that he am with you, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. You have a glorious tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. Shall we rise?
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukweju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.